If I were to use the well-known idiom, the breakfast of champions, what would you think of? Wheaties. I'm glad you didn't say Bruce Jenner. I remember I used to eat Wheaties when I ran track in high school, and I had the idea that if I had my Wheaties every day, that I'd be running 47 second quarter miles, but it didn't work for me. But you know, when we sing a song like, I have decided to follow Jesus, trials and testings are always going to confront us. There's no such thing as a problem-free life. But when confronted by the trials and testings of life, we need to make that commitment. Through even this trial that I am facing, through this challenge, I am not going to worry. I am not going to fret. I will trust and I will follow Jesus and believe his word. You think life would be a little bit easier for us? I'd like to invite you to turn to Numbers chapter 14. Here we see the Israelites headed into the promised land. Great expectations. But they encounter a demon-possessed group of people named the Anakim, the giants, as it were. Notice it says, when all the congregation lifted up their voice, Numbers 14, verse 1, they cried, the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Here the 12 spies went to spy out the land, 10 came back. Oh, they acknowledged that the land was filled with milk and honey and corn and wine and oil, pomegranates, figs, grapes. But they said, we can't take this. There are giants in the land. But we know that 2 of the spies said, don't fear the people. Notice it goes on in our narrative. Verse 4, they said one to another, let us make a captain. Let's return to Egypt. The devil wants you to go backwards, never forward. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. They spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, listen to what they said, the land which we passed through to search it, it's an exceeding good land. And if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. You know, when you face problems and testings in life, remember this. What is the purpose of bread? Bread is a main staple in human diet, especially in the Semitic culture. It brings energy. It's the staff of life. And you know, I want to just bring this point and drive it home tonight before we go to prayer. Trials and testings can actually be bread for your soul. Trials and testings can actually fortify your faith and can serve as spiritual nourishment if we will properly trust God. in what he has for us. It's when we feed on the challenge and trust in God that we grow. You know, our Lord isn't looking for softies for his disciples. We need to trust in the Lord in the midst of the storm. Trials are bread for your soul. So therefore, let's call trials the breakfast of champions. Because just like you like to have your toast in the morning, well, next time you grab a piece of toast, you think about the words that I just shared with you tonight. I'm going to take the trials that I'm going through, and I'm going to eat those trials just like a piece of toast, and God is going to convert it to energy to strengthen me to go forward. Now, if you're in an Atkins diet, then substitute perhaps bread for something else. Some of you may be on low carb. But look at the book of James in the New Testament. Look how trials are viewed in the book of James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed, happy, blessed is the man that endures, literally, testings. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. And you know, I don't necessarily just look at that crown of life as an eschatological concept, that someday at the end, at the Bema seat, we're going to get a crown. There are many that take the position that crown of life not only is referring to an eschatological prophetic concept, but a crown of life in the sense of an immediate reward that is ours when we trust the Lord. We are crowned with the proper perspective of life that we can enjoy and fulfill our lives for the glory of God. And the Lord has promised that to them that love him. Then, one more scripture before we go to prayer. Trials are the breakfast of champions when properly responded to. By the way, where would you be spiritually if it were not for the trials? We would be like a handicapped child in a wheelchair with flaccid muscles and unable to stand on our own. But it is the adversity of trials and testings that develop us into the image of Christ. Romans 5, verse 3, after speaking about our justification and the peace and access that we have in Christ, it says, because of all of this, verse 3, we glory in tribulation. We look at trials as the bread of life that nurtures us and strengthens us and fortifies us, knowing that tribulation works, or it produces patience, the ability to stay up under and be faithful and not give up. After developing the ability to keep on keeping on, it says it produces experience, because someday we can look back at that trial and it becomes an experience that we can share with our children and our grandchildren, and we can grow through it and we can testify of it. And then it also produces confident expectation, hope, because the same God that brought us through the trial is able to see us through. Oh, let's not be like the 10 spies that failed to see the opportunity in trials. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that is given unto us. You know, when we feed on the breakfast of champions and we trust God and we see trials as an opportunity to grow and be nourished, the Bible tells us not only will we not be ashamed in having trusted the Lord, but the love of God is going to be maximized and multiplied, and we're going to impact others around us. I don't often share details of conversations that I have with children, but Melody and I were on the phone this last week with one of my boys, and he was testifying to the fact that he had gone to a Bible conference, and James McDonald, who is one of the leaders of the radio program Walk in the Word, I think that many of you have heard him, and he was sharing some concepts about the fact that when he was growing up in his family, that his father as a pastor shared the challenges of life with his family, trials and testings, not in intimate details, but when the family was going through a trial in the church or through circumstances, they prayed as a family about it. And the kids weren't in the dark about things. And many pastors have a tendency to say, well, I don't want my kids to be bitter in the ministry, so I'm not going to let them know anything about anything at all. We need to, number one, show that, yes, the Christian life may have problems, but we're going to trust in the Lord. And we're going to show our children that our response is not one of panic or fear, such as the 10 spies, but our response is one that sees the opportunity to grow with the bread of life and the trials that come. Johnny shared, he said, you know, when he preached that in the conference, I told myself, you know what? That's what I experienced. And I was able to say amen about the same thing. And rather than drive me out of the ministry, that actually drove me into the ministry. Not because I thought the ministry would be problem-free, but because I've seen God answer prayer and work, and we trust in Him. So the trials that you're going through today, and I know that there are many and involve other people. They may not be trials that directly involve you, but when they involve your kids and your grandkids, they do involve you, don't they? And sometimes they're harder to bear than even our own. But we have to learn to say, Lord, I'm going to transform this into bread because this is from your hand. And Lord, if you're giving me this, I'm going to trust that you'll not only use it for my strength, but for the strength of others that may be going through it as well. So let's look to the Lord. And as we sang this evening, I have decided to follow Jesus. That's a commitment to give unto the Lord. No turning back. No turning back. Let's pray. Father, I pray for perhaps one listening to this brief devotion that is tempted to turn back, is tempted to give up, perhaps has been embittered by difficult problems and things that have happened in their lives and local churches, and it would be so easy to follow Satan's guidance and say, well, you see, look what they did and look at this and that. I'm not going to have anything to do with God and the church. And Lord, we'd fall right into your hand where Satan would isolate the sheep and then attack them when they're alone. So Lord, we do pray that we would, Lord, have our prayer answered, perhaps for some that are going through trials, that they would look and see that you're the God of the trial. Just as Joseph was in the prison for 13 years, he never lost sight that you were in control. And it was bread for his soul. That which Satan sought to poison him was a place of provision by the Lord. So Lord, help us to be willing to eat that breakfast of champions and by faith to walk ahead and follow you. And bless us and guide us as we go to prayer in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.